Hello, and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Oh!
As always, we are reading Journey to the West. We are on chapter 68. And
as always, we are reading Journey of the West. It'd be nice to just vary it up a bit. You know. Different epic every week. Just speed read really, really fast.
Yeah, I'm just going to summarize the entire rest of the book in the next 10 minutes and then we'll move on. We've had enough of the monkey.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, you know. Vary it up, get some Mesopotamian twinks or cattle raids going, or I don't know.
Why did I think it was a good idea to do this when I knew the book was 100 chapters long?
I am not bored. We shall say we are definitely not bored. I mean that.
No, and I do quite like this chapter. Although it does, I get the best term I can say. I guess is kind of misgendering. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. I guess.
I was misgendered twice last night in opposite directions. within 10 minutes, and I'm like, this is the vibe I want to give off. This is kind of affirming, actually.
Professional. That's the professional level transgendering.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Actually, no. One was misgendering in different directions, like within 30 seconds. Because one guy said, "Oh, sorry, girl," and then his mate just nudged him and said, "That's a fella." No, you're both wrong. This is good vibes for me, I guess. I'm going to see the positive in this situation.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, misgendering in monkeys.
Yeah.
Monkey misgendered. Who's misgendered? Who knows? Stay tuned to figure that out.
So meantime, the pilgrims are on the road, and summertime has rolled around again, and they come across a new city, and there's a banner floating above, there's a banner blowing above the gate of the city, and Tripitaka asks Wukong, "Oh, where are we?" And Wukong is like, "Can't you read?" Says it right there. It's written on the banner. It's there. That banner that's like several miles away and flapping in the wind. Can't you read that easily?
You went so cork there for a second.
Oh, weird. Okay. Wukong is from Cork now.
Wukong is from Cork. Yeah, that tracks.
That's a concerning development. I need to make a pilgrimage back to Waterford to try and get my accent in order. But yeah, Wukong's the only one who actually can read it.
Can't you read, by boy? It's boy in Cork, not by in Waterford. This has been vague mumbling about Irish dialects of interest to nobody. He can't read from miles away.
Yeah. So anyway, the banner says it's the Scarlet Purple Kingdom, which is a big, bustling metropolis of a place. It's like a city back in China, is how it's described. And when they get into the city, they start to attract some stares. Tripitaka tells his disciples not to start any trouble. So Xia Wujing and Zhu Wuneng keep their heads down. Wukong doesn't bother. He just starts looking around, staring back at everyone. But nothing comes of it. They make their way.
Starting buzz.
Yeah.
Nobody can see the shoulder movements I'm doing right now.
Yeah, no. He's perfect. Perfect lad. Shoulder. Assertion. I don't know what that gesture even means. It's just kind of like, come on. But yeah, they make their way to the College of Interpreters, which is where like visiting envoys get lodgement. Wukong isn't happy they're not given like a fancier room and better treatment. Tripitaka says like this city, this kingdom has no formal diplomatic relations with the Tong Empire, they're not going to be rolling out a red carpet for us. Wukong, he isn't really satisfied. He doesn't make a fuss, though.
You've been sleeping on the side of the road for quite some time. Like...
Yeah, but he wants to be, when he's like, in a city, he wants to be upgrade. Taken care of, I guess.
I guess. He wants traveling to be, is hard.
He wants to be important.
You know, if you're going to be traveling thousands of miles for work, you want that perk, you want that nice hotel room, you want the bubble bath.
Yeah, they don't get any of that. In fact, they're given some food, but they're told they have to cook it themselves.
Well.
Yeah. Self-catering accommodation.
One-star TripAdvisor review for College of Interpreters, Scarlet Purple Kingdom.
Tripitaka asks an official if the king is holding court at the moment. Apparently, he hasn't been for a long time. But today there is a special proclamation being published, so he is today. So if you want to get your passport stamped, you should go now.
I keep forgetting about the passport and I kind of love it.
Yeah, well, he's a good official boy. He would never do anything like leave the country illegally. He has to get everything stamped and correct the right way. He puts on his good clothes. He tells the disciples not to cause any trouble, put on the food, I'll be back after this, heads off to the palace. And the king, if you're called the I keep calling it a passport, but the travel rescript, as it's actually called in the book, is a letter from Tong Taizong, the emperor of China. And it has a bit of a story in it. And when the king reads it, he has a couple questions for Tripitaka. First, he asks about China and the Tong Dynasty. He says, how many generations of Tong rulers have there been? And also, it says here your emperor came back from the dead. What's the story there?
Yeah! I mean, I'd want the Goths too. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to resist.
It's weird that their letter of permission to travel contains like this slightly rambling story about like it is the background for like why they're on this pilgrimage, but it's a bit weird to have in the letter. Oh, by the way,
it is in the letter.
Yeah,
I misunderstood and I thought it was just like, oh wait, so seriously, did he? Did he actually come back from the dead? You can tell he, were you there? I thought it was just a rumor, and he was just like, I have an opportunity.
No, it says diplomatic
goss obsession now. No, okay, it says it in the thing. That's, yeah. I would be asking questions, though, absolutely.
Yeah, so Tripitaka, he responds with a poem, and so he doesn't answer the king's first question directly, because it's kind of an awkward one, because what he actually says is, how many successions of rulers has the Tong had? And that's sort of awkward. He's asking how ancient and august this empire is.
And it's just like that. You have as many emperors as we do. One of them, just statistically, is bound to be a zombie. That's just how it works.
No, but you see, it's an awkward question because the answer is one, because Tong Taizong is only the second Tong Emperor. His dad was the first one. His dad who he suggested take an early retirement after he killed his two brothers. So Tripitaka has this poem, and instead of like actually answering the question, he starts off talking about like more ancient dynasties of China going all the way back to Xia, and then kind of working his way up through the dynasties that have come before to kind of, you know, do the national myth of legitimizing the current regime through history. Every country does this. Ireland does this. We fucking pretend Brian Boru having a fight over his own power with some Viking kings based out of Dublin has anything whatsoever to do with like Irish national identity and liberation and the forming of the country that exists now. It's I a king
national
who
mythologizing.
Yeah, whatever. And then he explains the whole business with the official who executed a dragon in his sleep, and then it started haunting the emperor, and then the emperor died, and blah, blah, blah. He explains.
Your man's eyes are just glazing over at this point.
Explains the whole shit. If you need a recap of that, go back and listen to episode. I don't know what fucking episode was that.
I don't know. I needed a recap of it, and I've been here the whole time.
It was several fucking years ago at this point.
It was. We've been doing this for years now.
It's almost like we've been on our own pilgrimage.
Maybe the real no.
No.
Don't make me think about life having forward movement, Quiva. Okay. I come here to act the clown. I don't need to be reminded of that.
Okay. So the king is very impressed. He's convinced the Tang Empire is a blessed nation. As opposed to here, where I've been fucking sick for so long, and none of my ministers have been able to help at all. This shit, just useless fucking ministers, whatever. I'm putting way more bitterness into this than there is actually in the dialogue, but the king is ill, is the point, with a long time, but he invites Tripitaka to dine with him anyway.
Bitterness, long-term illness sucks.
Yeah, I mean, sleep apnea isn't the worst thing, but I have been frustrated with it lately. It just makes like logistics for travel slightly awkward, because I need to decide if I'm going to lug that CPAP machine around with me, or just like not sleep properly at all. Sorry, I have sleep apnea, by the way, anyone listening. It's a condition where you sleep like shit unless you strap an air pump to your face.
Well, I mean, you stop breathing while you sleep, yes. Which I think is a little more serious than sleep like shit.
Yeah, that was actually funny. I got a test. I got a sleep study done. So you go into a hospital, they put a bunch of sensors around you, and your mouth, and measure how many sleep apnea events that you have, which is like when you stop breathing, and then you kind of wake up slightly, and you don't really remember doing this and go back to sleep. So like, I do remember that night, like waking up a couple times. I was in a hospital, you know, in a strange place. It was uncomfortable. I had the shit strapped to me, so I did wake up a good few times. But then when they were going through the results, the doctor was like, "Oh yeah, we could see that you were waking up like what was it, like 20 something times or something," he said. And I was like, "God, I stopped breathing 20 whatever times." And then he said per hour.
What? Fuck me. No wonder you were exhausted.
Yeah, it's not a nice thing to have, especially untreated. Like, as long as I use the machine, I can sleep fine. But yeah, it's an awkward thing to have to lug around. But
Yeah.
There are far, far worse disabilities.
Yeah, my muscles occasionally trap nerves for reasons known only to my muscles, and my ministers have been unable to sort it out as well. So. And I don't even get the pleasure of executing them, so.
That would certainly be it would certainly change people's experience of the HSE.
It would. I blame one doctor. his in forever going to be known as Professor McCuntface. And he has a 15-minute stand-up bit about him.
Which you might see if you go to if you go to see Hysteria in Shea in Dublin.
He gave me recovering addict steroids.
Ah, yeah. So back at the College of Interpreters, where, as far as I know, there aren't any doctors.
Very smart place to put people up, by the way.
Because you'd be people who like would be able to speak different languages.
Yeah. Smart. I like it.
So disciples have been told to cook dinner. And they do have basics. They can make some rice, but they weren't given any oil, salt, soy sauce, or vinegar or anything else to make a kind of decent meal with. Just kind of a bunch of raw vegetables and rice and stuff. So Wukong tells Baji to go get some stuff from the market. Baji's a bit reticent. He doesn't want to get into trouble. Tripitaka warned them repeatedly not to. Wukong convinces them by saying, okay, we'll both go and you buy the stuff we need and I'll buy you some sweets. How's that? I would also be convinced by this.
Yeah, same. I've been trying to talk myself out of going out for donuts that I don't need and can't really afford for the past 2 hours. I am very donut/sweet motivated.
If you give me donuts, if you put donuts in front of me, I'll eat them. I'll eat basically anything with sugar in it you put in front of me. But like, I wouldn't, if you gave me a choice of things to go out and get, I wouldn't really go for donuts. I think they're a bit overrated.
I don't know why. I crave. It's the fried. It's the crisp. I'm so getting donuts after this.
I am.
That resolve did not last very long at all.
So I'm not helping. Wu Jing stays to cook the rice while they're gone. And some officials give them directions to the Zheng family grocery to pick stuff up, and they head off into the market arm in arm.
Aww.
Yeah.
Skipping away.
Yep. Best buds. Wukong starts to get a bit picky though, and they start wandering kind of further and further looking for ingredients, and they end up stumbling upon a watchtower with a crowd of people around it, reading a proclamation. So the proclamation says, since we, the king of the Scarlet Purple Kingdom in the west, Aparagadania continent, I will never be comfortable saying that name, I think, nor probably ever say it remotely correctly. Since we assumed our throne, the four quarters have remained submissive and the populace have enjoyed leisure and peace. Recently, however, the affairs of state have turned inauspicious, for we have been gravely ill and the recovery has been most difficult even after a long time. The College of Imperial Medicine of our nation has administered repeatedly its excellent prescriptions, but these have not given us cure. Therefore, we publish now this proclamation for all the worthy scholars throughout the world, regardless of whether they're going to the north, coming from the east, or even natives of China, the foreign state. If there is anyone skillful...
Foreign state.
Yes. If there happens to be anyone from China reading this, although Wukong isn't actually from... is probably not actually from China, right?
No.
He's just working for a guy from China. Anyway, if there's anyone skillful in medicine and the therapeutic arts, let him ascend to the treasure hall and restore our health. We most solemnly pledge that the moment we are healed, we will divide the kingdom with him. For this reason, we have mounted this necessary proclamation.
Sounds like you think it's pretty necessary. All right.
So yeah, Wukong says fuck dinner. He wants to play physician for a bit.
Wukong, with all his medical training.
Yep.
How hard could it be doctoring, really?
Yeah, I'm sure it's easy. He tells Baji to wait. So Baji just leans against the wall and promptly falls asleep. Well, Wukong turns invisible, tears down the proclamation, blows out a whirlwind to scatter everyone and make a distraction, and then stuffs the proclamation down the sleeping Zhu Baji's shirt and runs off.
So not only is he going to go and play doctor, he's now taking away the opportunity for somebody qualified to possibly go over there and play doctor.
Yes.
And be doctor, as yes. opposed to, yeah, I think I, well, this is, fuck this.
So the eunuchs and guards who put up the proclamation see that it's gone and then spot that it's sticking out of Baji's shirt. They wake him up. He has no idea. Yeah. He has no idea what's going on. They try and drag him away, but they can't actually physically move him.
He's a very, very large pig.
Yeah, very, very large, very, very magic pig. When they point out the proclamation shoved down his shirt, he immediately concludes that the wretched ape is trying to get him killed, and he tries to explain what's going on about the pilgrimage, who Kong is, and he's probably played a prank on me and gone back to the college. So MJ, do you want to hate Baji more than you already do?
I don't know if I'm going to have a choice in the matter or how possible that is, but go on.
So yeah, two of the eunuchs figure they might as well go to the College of Interpreters and see the truth of the story and see if this Wukong guy tore down the proclamation. Does that mean he can heal the king? And Baji is like, ah, yes. These two women here are finally speaking some sense. And the guards are just like, why are you calling these men women? And he just kind of insists that he's right and they're being stupid. And then everyone tells him to shut the fuck up and go bring them to see the other monk.
Okay, so we've got sketchy alternative remedies, preventing actually qualified people from looking at the problem, and now rampant misgendering under the guise of it's common sense, use your eyes. We are on right-wing Facebook today. Excellent.
I do not know enough about the, like, bloody politics and sociology of eunuchs in history in China, like, so I won't go into, like, commenting on it more, I guess, and I think it's probably a bit, like, I wouldn't be comfortable, like, trying to draw a direct parallel between being trans and being fucking eunuch.
Yeah, it's not good. No.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's, I think it's, I, and I'm not sure what the, I'm not exactly sure what the point or joke exactly that's being played, that, like, is the intent of the author here. The way the other characters just kind of take him as being kind of annoying about this more than anything else puts me in mind of the kind of, I don't know, sitcom backwards dad character who'll say something on PC and then all the other characters tell him off for it, but you get to enjoy him kind of, you know. The narrative is kind of saying he's wrong, but also it's indulging him in it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the I don't know what the actual intent or context of this at all is, and I should probably stop rambling about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to do, I mean, there's not much, I don't know where to look in the moment apart from the Wikipedia page for eunuchs in China.
Yeah, there's probably, like, if I genuinely, if anyone has, like, a good article or, like, series discussing this sort of thing, that is something I would be interested in reading up on a bit more, to be honest. But, I would have no idea where the fuck to look.
Yeah.
And what, I would, it's not the kind of thing I would, like, trust in. Like, I would want a deeper analysis than Wikipedia.
Than fucking and Wikipedia.
And a more, yeah. Which is what I usually just shove in reference to, or double check what I'm looking for things for this podcast, to be honest. But, yeah. And, like, I don't know, like, I won't read out the whole thing, but, like, when Faji is kind of insisting he's in the right, calling them, the word he actually uses is mamas, but it then says, "Stop your saucy tongue," the people said, "go find your elder brother quickly." So it's not like the crowd in general is just tells him to shut up and then they just kind of move on. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm going in circles.
Yeah. Anyway, weird misgendering thing happened. It's Baji. We can assume that he's not the good guy here.
Anyway, he brings them to the College of Interpreters, and inside they find Wukong laughing to himself at a little prank he's pulled. But he denies actually having done anything. Oh, I just went out to the market. I got seasoning for the dinner. I came back here. I don't know anything about a proclamation. But the eunuchs and guards bow down to Wukong, and they, like, very respectfully, they call him Venerable Father Son, and they ask him if he is able to heal the king. And this is
no.
this is what Wukong wanted. So he, at this point, fesses up. He's like, God. Yes, I took it. I will heal your king.
How?
It's you... don't worry about it. It's
fine. Oh, fuck.
So yeah, half of the group stay at the College of Interpreters and half go to the palace to tell the king that they found a healer. And this message reaches the king while he's still with Tripitaka. Tripitaka realizes that this is, like, you know, that, like, Tripitaka knows that this is Sun Wukong, and the king is like, oh, what do your disciples know about medicine? And he's like, nothing. None of them know any medicine. I have no idea what they're talking about. The king just thinks he's being modest and sends for Wukong to be brought. And Wukong makes some comments about, oh, why isn't the king coming to see me? But yeah, the official's like,
this random monkey who arrived in his kingdom took away his cry for help, and
he's also extremely ill.
Listen, I know, I have been in a situation where I just have not questioned whatever treatment was put in front of me, because at this point, like, if they said, okay, what you need to do is we need you to fuck two eels while you fillet a third, my only question would be, will my insurance cover this? You know, I have been there. But nobody should be enabling this. Nobody.
So the king is very sick, and that's why he can't come himself. So Wukong's like, oh, fine, I'll go to the palace. But the king, by the time he gets there, the king has kind of already taken a turn for the worse and is now saying he can't bear to see an unfamiliar face. He doesn't want to deal with that.
Also very relatable.
So
this is an autistic, chronically ill man. Don't.
Wukong offers to take the king's pulse using threads, so he doesn't have to go near the king himself. He can like do it from another room, and the king agrees to this.
That's what.
Yeah, so as he approaches the hall,
is that a thing? That can't be a thing.
So as he approaches the hall, Trippy Taka intercepts him, and gives him a bollocking. I will paraphrase the conversation heavily here, but it goes something on the lines of, "What the hell are you doing? You don't know anything about medicine. We've been on the road for years, and you've never cured anyone. You're just going to cause trouble for me."
Fair.
And Wukong says, "Look, master, it's fine. I know some herbal remedies. They can cure like even really serious illnesses. Even if I kill him, it's only medical malpractice. It's not murder, so it's not like they're going to try and hang me for it or anything, so relax."
Tight fillet spell. I am usually entirely opposed to the torture ban, but this is what it was designed for.
So
sometimes you gotta do a little war crime.
So Tripitaka is like, have you ever read, you know, a medical textbook? Have you read the classic of medical problems? Have you read the formulas of the pulse? Have you read any of these? Do you know anything about medicine? What the fuck are you talking about? Using threads to take a pulse?
I've been Googling to see if that's possible because I could sort of see how it might possibly be, but I can't find anything. And also, the fuck?
Wukong is just like, "Oh, I've these threads of gold. You've never seen them, but they're, I can use these." And he plucks out three hairs from his tail and changes them into gold threads. He's like, "Look, see, here's my gold threads. You don't have to worry about it." And then he just pushes past Tripitaka into the palace to go doctor the king.
Who has said he doesn't want to see anybody. Set him on fire.
So if you want to...
Cleanse it with fire!
If you wanna find out about Wukong's medical malpractice,
fire.
You'll have to come back for chapter 69.
Nice.
Also maybe trans representation. Not really, but it there's going to be a line that I will insist is trans representation.
And as you are a trans queer, that's the end of the matter.
It's nothing to do with the eunuchs, I promise. I'm not going to try and insist on that. I promise.
Fair. I trust you not to do that. I can understand why you would need to reassure others, but I trust you.
Okay. So yes, that's chapter 68. Thank you for listening. We have a
Kill
Patreon
him with fire.
We have Twitter. We've killing with fire. I have a website. There will be links in the notes.
If you join our Patreon, you can form a parasocial relationship with Cuiva's cat.
I occasionally remember to post photos of her in there, and maybe a video or two.
Yes. Show notes. Bye.
Bye.